Hello, this is Tika Low with Public Intellectual Radio, or we call it Radio Public. Today, we have Dr. Brooks, and we're going to be talking about debt. We're just going to hop into it. So
let's do it.
So, Dr. Brooks, what is, you know, I'm going to ask you, I do know about the book Can't Pay, Won't Pay, but what is the debt collective? What is that?
Absolutely. The debt collective is an organization. We leverage our collective power as debtors, offering, you know, a shared way of advocacy. We believe that, you know, collective power and the idea of not fighting our battles alone, our debts, alone are our burden, right? We see things in isolation and it's a burden, but together we're powerful. So the long-term aim of the organization is to just transform personal grievances into this collective form of political action. And we are branching off now, you know, forming regional and local chapters. So for LA, we just started a local chapter in LA that I'm really excited about. But yeah, so the goal is to transform these personal grievances into some big collective action. And you'll learn more about that in just a moment.
Okay. So I know this is a weird question, but is this going to be like, you know, in regards to your perspective politically, is this cancellation or forgiveness?
We are demanding full cancellation of federal debt, of private student loans. We're demanding free public education for all, right? All of it. And it's more so a fundamental change of the way that we think of education. Education's a right that everyone should have access to. For decades, college was free. It was low cost. It was affordable for people. But we've shifted the paradigm shift happened in the 1980s in America, and policies led us to the crisis that we're in now, with this, the burden being placed on the individual. So the only way that we think that we can correct that is to change the fundamental understanding of education and making it, again, a public good and a human right. So all of it needs to be canceled now and forever.
I mean, it's, you know, I think the thing is so bizarre is like, I remember I had an older white woman. She like looked at me and said, "You're so smart. You should just go to go to college and get some other type of degree or something like that." And she was like, "Don't you guys get to go for free?" And I thought in my head, I'm like, no, it was you guys who got to go for free.
Right. So,
and it's really bizarre how that narrative really shifted. Like, college started costing more money. And then the rumor was that we got to go, black people. I'm a black person. Right. Dr. Brooks is a black person. Got to go for free. And I'm like, that's not true because I'm in debt. So, I mean, let's go back to the question. So, should it be, it's going to be all of it, not a portion, all of it?
All of it. From forever until forever.
To forever.
Every single dollar needs to be canceled completely.
And this is just, are we just talking about college or are we thinking about like, this is just step one and we're going to cancel all kinds of debt?
Well, yeah, there's definitely ideas that go beyond student debt cancellation. Debt is becoming this new form of slavery. And unironically, as you mentioned, it affects us the most. It affects black people the most. So we actually do offer resources for ways to address all of debt, right? Mm-hmm. We want to address this machine as a whole. The current campaigns and the legislations that we're focusing on right now are around student debt. But all grievances are tied together, and we understand that this is just, we have a shared responsibility of addressing all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing is that, you know, when I read there's a book that's connected to this, Can't Pay, Won't Pay, and they talked about so much stuff. They talked about all of the ways that we are being essentially screwed in regards to, let me try to think of all the different ways, like how they're, you know, where is it? Well, just from the time, like how they're doing welfare, how they're doing ICE, how they're doing, I mean, how they put us into debt and they trick us into going to debt. I mean, we think about even the housing situation, like how they got us into debt in regards to the housing situation when the prime
loan. It's predatory.
Yeah, the predatory loans and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I went way off topic there. But we're talking about student debt. But I have to tell you something with debt. I mean, here's a challenge. You know, okay, how do you deal with the embarrassment? Like, to me, I have to be honest. I'm embarrassed, like, how much debt I'm in regards to my student loans. I mean, I don't think I've actually ever, like, legitimately told my husband. Like, hey, if I die, you're on the hook for this. So I mean, how do we you know, get beyond that?
And you know, that's one of the reasons that I started speaking up, because when they want us to isolate ourselves, right? When we don't speak up, we think this is a personal issue. We think it's an individual issue rather than a systemic one. Or even on a more sinister note, right? Maybe it was something that was intentionally brought upon us, right? And once we transform our thinking into understanding it that way, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, right? I didn't know any better. I was a first generation college student. My parents did not go to college. I had no one to tell me what to do, what not to do. How could any of us have known any better if we're in that position? We were sold this idea that if we go to college and if we did this and if we did that, that it would pay off, right? We sign this dotted line, you'll get a great job, and then this degree will come and you'll pay it off easily. So we were lied to. It was all a lie. There's absolutely nothing to be embarrassed of. We did exactly what we were told to do, what we were supposed to do, and they lied to us. There's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? So now that we have this understanding, we're righting the wrongs. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And we're all in this. We were all connived into this.
I have to say something. I was totally paranoid about the whole situation with Trump. Like, right. I was like, okay, so we don't have to pay, you know, because we're all on a little break, I guess. I don't know what you can call it that. We're on a break for paying our student loans right now. I was like, what's the other shoe that's going to drop? I think because it's a problem, because I'm reading Black Reconstruction right now. I'm rereading it, which is like 1,000-page book. So it's it's kind of challenging. And the thing is that during Black Reconstruction, there was this real fear that they would bring slavery back. And as you know, the prison industrial complex, okay, I'm going way, way, way outside
our school. All relevant.
I was like, what are they going to force me to do to pay this loan back? How do I know that they're not going to be like, oh, okay, so if you own this much money, then you got to go and, you know, you got to watch these babies, or you got to work out in the field. I mean, you know, what would stop? I mean, I'm hoping it doesn't happen.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, like I said, I was really, like, afraid. Like, I mean, that's one of my next question. Like, you know, I was really afraid of the consequences. And, like, so you're saying, like, if we all join together, that fear will go away.
Let me just say, these people are crazy. They're nuts. Your fear is completely valid, right? But the most important thing is that we do stand together and we refuse to pay together. If they come after us one by one, it's a lot easier than if they come after us all together. I'm a single mom. I'm a single Black mom, right? Mm-hmm. So I know all about fear. I know about consequences, and you make, you know, one quote unquote poor decision and what can all unfold from that. But one thing that I have done, and one thing that I'm good at, is research. So I've learned there are always loopholes. You know who is using those loopholes? They are. The 1% is using the loopholes. The banks are using the loopholes, the CEOs, right? The president of the United States is using loopholes. They're not paying off their debts. They're not paying them off because they learned the loopholes. And not only are they not paying them off, but they're being forgiven. And we're watching it unfold in front of our eyes. The country, the nation is in a pandemic. And we watched at the beginning of the pandemic, the banks get bailed out again. When we saw it fell in 2008, when we saw, we see that it isn't successful and it keeps happening. But essentially it's about knowing the loopholes. We're learning loopholes as well.
Yeah.
You know, stay in school, apply for income-based repayment, have a $0 payment, apply for forbearance, apply for forgiveness. Once you do your research, you learn the loopholes and you realize that they legally cannot go after you, right? The consequences, you read about them, you learn about them, and you learn to avoid them. And that's what we work together to make sure that the most marginalized people and most vulnerable people are protected, because we are doing these things legally.
Okay. And I mean, do you think, I mean, this might be a silly question, but do you think this was done maliciously? Do you think that they trapped us on purpose?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we don't have debt, we don't work. So, I mean, I don't know how deep you want to go into this conversation into capitalism or, I mean, right. If we don't have debt, do we even have to work at all? But also just the idea that college should cost money. Once Black and Chicano students began enrolling into college, the narrative shifted from this being a public good into something that, you know, we're taking advantage of. This public good was not meant to benefit communities of color. And as soon as it began to benefit us, they cut the public funding and they made college something that they wanted to be unattainable for the poor working class. And if it became something that was attainable, it was sure to be attainable with this weight attached to it that would prevent us from truly attaining wealth and becoming a part of the middle class, right? Absolutely malicious. It's absolutely malicious.
I can't help but feel like it was on purpose. I mean, especially like I said, I'm reading history. It's just weird how it just keeps replaying over and over and over again. So can people who didn't go to college get involved in this?
Absolutely. So we've already got people with no student loan debt involved. You know, teenagers who don't want to be forced into debt when they go to college, educators who want to be able to teach students who can learn without the fear of repayment of debts. People in general who believe that education should be free, and they want to spread awareness for this. Absolutely. You can join a local chapter. You can get involved there. You can be a part of the national direct actions. There's so much work to be done, and everyone plays a role in this. Even if you didn't go to college, even if you have no plan to go to college or you don't know anyone affected, standing in solidarity is important as well. As we mentioned, this is all connected. All the grievances are tied together and everyone plays a role.
So, like, you know, I guess another thing I'm concerned about is, what are your thoughts about people trying to moralize debt? Like, oh, college debt is good debt and should be forgiven, but credit card debt is bad debt. Like, how do we get beyond? Because I think we moralize poverty. We moralize all this stuff. How do you think that, you know, I mean, is your collective dealing with that? Is it, I mean, not your collective, the debt collective. Yeah, is that something that's being dealt with? Like, you know, there's good debt and bad debt. Like, you deserve to be helped. Kind of like political prisoners versus someone who sold pot in 1995. I mean, you know, what is good? What is?
Right.
Because a lot of things, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of people who were working class and, you know, such as myself, like, you know, I went to college. I was like, I was a cigarette girl. I was a dishwasher. I wrote, I was a copywriter for Call Girls. I did like an amazing amount of work. I still came out in debt. And then like, I had all these credit cards. I had all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, you know, so I had student loan debt and I had credit card debt, you know, how do we kind of like go, this debt's okay? And I'm sorry, I'm just like repeating the question.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same position. So as I mentioned, I was a first generation college student. The first to graduate from college, I graduated with a doctorate. And the reason that I had to get a doctorate is to make a living wage in Los Angeles. I could not support two kids. My first degree was in nursing, and I actually, yeah. So I'm an I was a mess as a teenager. The intersections of my identity. I actually was convicted of several felonies as a teenager at 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
So that was another failure of the system. I was wrongfully convicted of several things that I just didn't do. Mm-hmm. And that has followed me for a very long time. It's something that I still battle with today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I did what I had to do to get it cleared off my record and paid restitution and all of that. But all of that to say, I stayed in school because finding a job was difficult at one point. There was, even with a nursing's degree, I couldn't get a job because I had this record that something I used someone's credit card at 18 and it followed me for the rest of my life. And I couldn't become a nurse. Right. Could not become a nurse when I graduated from nursing school. Went back to school, got a bachelor's degree, two master's degrees, a teaching credential. Was able to work as a teacher, you know, making $50,000 a year in LA. That is poverty. If you've got you can't make it. My only options were to go back to school. That's always been my only option in order to feed my kids. And finally, the last time that I went back to school, you know, to earn my doctorate, I'm able to earn a living wage now, but I'm in so much debt now that it doesn't even matter. I'm 33 years old and I'm living in a room in my mom's house with a doctorate degree. Like, this is not the story that I was sold. This is not what I signed up for. And I don't see a way out. I don't see a way out, even though, you know, I made a poor decision when I was a kid. It affected me forever. But since then, I've made all of the right decisions. I've done exactly everything that they said I should do to right my wrongs, right? And now I'm in this position where I do not see the light because of this debt. So, I mean, the idea that debt is a moral obligation, it's meant to marginalize us. It's meant for us to look down upon one another. Mm-hmm. You know, I made a good decision, you made a bad decision, but no, we're all forced into this. The cost of living surpasses the wages, and that's why we have to borrow. So it's intentional.
Yeah. And
anytime that I think about my moral obligations, the first thing that I always ask are banks moral? Right? Are they moral? I'm going to care about the bank just as much as the bank cares about me. And it's not a moral failing to be unable to pay back these debts when it's a systemic failure. And what we're doing now is correcting that systemic failure.
I'm just, that's an amazing story. And I mean, whatever you did, it couldn't have been that bad that should have followed you for on. I mean, it's just so frustrating. I know, and that's the whole thing. It's like, oh, because, you know, I mean, they politicize or they moralize every single thing that you have to do to survive or even, like, you know, things that are funny if you're like a white girl are not funny if you're black. It's like, oh, so that's funny.
I've met white girls my age who've done worse at 18 and nothing. They got a slap on the wrist. And that's exactly it. It's, like I said, the intersection of my identities of being a black girl, I felt my blackness. You know, they didn't listen to anything that I had to say then. And I felt voiceless for a while. It's only now that, you know, as I get the language and I'm able to articulate my experiences, that things have, you know, been able to make sense for me. It's been a journey. It's definitely been a journey. And
I mean, I think that's the thing about you, though, that people can really relate to this story. Right. I mean, the thing is, I've heard lots of stories about people in debt. And, you know, I like your story because it is a story that a lot of people have, but they don't talk about it. And, I don't even like say like, you know, the fact that I hate the whole idea of like overcome, but I guess that's a word you have to use. Like you overcame a lot of things and you were able to kind of persevere. And I mean, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just been like, forget it. I mean, I know me. Okay. I'm not like the kind of person, like I'm very much, that would have stressed me out for about a good 5 years. I wouldn't have gotten to get my life together to about at least 45. I wouldn't have gotten my life together after that happened to me. So, you know, kudos to being able to just, you know, push through. But like, how can we kind of get involved in this? What do we do?
Speaking up, just like I'm doing. I mean, we all have a story to tell. We're all affected by this one way or another. So you speak up, you join the debtors union. Debt Collective has a debtors union that you can join. Join the student debt strike, sign up for that. Become a part of the national campaign. See where your congressional representatives and senators stand. You know, we want to start making sure that they hear us and they understand what our grievances are and what we're fighting for, and that they know that we're informed. You know, we want to use social media to our advantage and bring awareness there. All of these things. We need people to make noise right now. We're going to have a very big noise-making direct action in the next coming months. So we really just need awareness to be made right now.
I have one kind of question that kind of almost goes backwards, but I just thought about it. How, you know, so many times the right, what they do is they paint it as, they paint things as a Black problem to get white people to go, no, we're not going to do this. We don't want to give them anything. How do we give, I mean, the thing is that, you know, this is an issue that impacts us a great deal, but this is also an issue that impacts white people. Do you think that white people will be able for once to not cut off their nose to spite their face? Like, okay, yes, this is going to benefit a lot of Black people, but this hurts you too. And, you know, I mean, do you think you think that the Debt Collective, maybe this is a big question, will be able to overcome that problem that has happened over and over again? Every single progressive movement, they simply just pull the Black card. It's just going to help Black people, and people vote against it. Do you think that the Debt Collective has a plan for that, or should have a plan for that, because it's happening?
I mean, I think we're in a really precious time in United States history. We're living in unprecedented times. And we're going through a major shift and transition. And if not now, when is how I see it. I think that this is the greatest time of any to really get people to understand the interconnectedness of this all, right? Surviving a pandemic we've seen the interconnectedness of marginalized communities, wealthy communities. None of us has come unscathed from this. And as we transition to a new administration, that is what we are banking on, right? This idea that there's this new hope, and we are going to change as a nation, and the ideals are going to be, we're moving forward together. And I mean, with the administration, we're also united in this idea of holding them accountable. And whether you're Black or white, you want to make sure that this administration is looking out for your best interests. And that's what we're connected with, right? We're holding this administration accountable together. And
Well, I'm going to say, I think to be hopeful, I mean, I feel like we have 74 million people, no, 75 million people that we can work with. Who I am, you know, I am to kind of like be kind of positive too. And I wasn't playing devil's advocate. That was a real question. I was really kind of like, are we gonna hope this doesn't get messed up again? I'm hoping that the 75 million people we need to work together, and we need to come together. Go ahead.
If we have 75 million people in solidarity on one cause, we can make change, right? Yeah. We can make change. We don't even need 75 million, to be honest, right? We can make change with 25, 30% of folks yeah, we've got solid ground, and we're going to use this momentum coming from this presidential election on our side, and I think we've got to win. I honestly see it. I see us coming out of this with a win.
Okay. I'm going to stay positive, because why not? Why not be positive? Yes. Because why not be positive, and why not? So is there like a website or something like that that we should go to? Of course, I'm going to put that below in the subtitle, not subtitles, but I'll put that below our talk. But what is
the link? Thank you. Yes. So we've got debtcollective.org.
Okay.
Debtcollective.org is where you start. There's tons of resources there. You make an account, you can join the union, you can get involved with the community feedback, discussion boards. There's resources for College for All, video links, wiki links, everything that you need. That's okay. Where you start, debtcollective.org.
Okay. In Los Angeles, we can find well, the thing is that, you know, I'm in New York, so you can find whatever you need to find there. Like, you can find the Los Angeles chapter, New York chapter. I guess you just start there and
ask somebody. So all of the chat, like I said, we're just now expanding the regional and local chapters. So LA will probably be on the site with them this week. Literally, like last Friday, we were like, we need a chapter in LA, and we founded the chapter last Friday.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I'm so shocked that as badass as LA is, there's no Debt Collective chapter, but there's one now.
Yeah, there's one now. So I mean, yeah, it's a little bit late. We're lots of people in debt, so yes.
Exactly. Where have we been our whole lives? So yeah, you can definitely, we're there. We're on the community communication board, so you'll see us, and you'll be able to, you can even directly message me, Rochelle Brooks, Dr. Brooks. Okay. I'm there, and you can get information on the LA chapter.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Dr. Brooks, for letting us know about the Debt Collective, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this works out and probably talking to you in the future and seeing like what's going on, you know, as this progresses. So thank you so much.
Right. I really appreciate you, Tika. Thank you for your time, and thank you for letting me talk a little bit about what we're doing and all the amazing work that's going to take place. Just real quickly, we do have national actions on the Biden Jubilee. So as you search through the Debt Collective resources, just make sure you're aware that the Biden Jubilee is something you want to sign up for. We're going to have some direct actions around that, and then local chapters are going to do some organizing around that. They'll decide what it looks like for them. Maybe book clubs, teaching, social media campaigns. So just make sure you're on the lookout for the Biden Jubilee.
Is that taking place a particular day, or is that just a movement?
That is in works right now.
Okay,
so we're trying to figure out what this is going to look like. But, you know, as I said, we really want to move the momentum as we transition to this new administration and put some pressure on them the first 100 days of their administration. We expect them to respond to us. And we're expecting full cancellation. So We're definitely working out those details, and we want as many folks involved to plan out the actions and plan out the campaign with us. So please be on the lookout and sign up for that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Brooks, and you have a great evening.
I appreciate it. You as well, Tika.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.